This audio chapter is licensed with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License, with permission granted by the authors and narrators. This license enables reusers to distribute, remix, adapt, and build upon the material in any medium or format for non-commercial purposes only, and only so long as attribution is given to the creator.
Higher Education for Good, Teaching and Learning Futures, edited by Laura Chernievich and Catherine Cronin. Chapter 26. It's about transforming lives, supporting students in post-pandemic higher education, by Vicky Trowler. In the print version of this book, this chapter is an illustrated novelette with black and white line drawings and images. For this audio version, the voices of participants are represented with AI-generated voices, while the voice of the author is an AI-generated clone of the author's voice, created with permission by the author and the book editors. When one thinks of a student, what springs to mind is often a young person from within the country, entering university directly from school with the appropriate school-leaving qualifications. This imagined student has no job or other responsibilities to distract them from their studies, no dependents or extended family to care for, and no disabilities. They identify unproblematically with the gender they were assigned at birth, and this predisposes them to select an appropriate program of study and to participate in stereotypical student pursuits. Trowler, 2017. My PhD study challenged those assumptions. I enlisted 23 volunteers who were studying at universities in Scotland, who self-identified as non-traditional in their own study contexts, to explore how they perceived their own engagement as well as their university's attempts to engage them and track them over the course of a calendar year. Reasons for volunteering included age, socioeconomic background, nationality, ethnicity or race, religion, caring responsibilities, gender, being first in family to participate in higher education, LGBTQIA plus identities, disability status, family estrangement, care experience, and non-standard entry qualifications, with students seldom presenting only a single reason. This chapter revisits unpublished data from my PhD study, bringing it into conversation with current concerns to reflect on what makes higher education good. When is higher education good? How might we, working or studying in HE, help to ensure that it stays or becomes good when there are so many challenges? Pseudonyms used in this chapter were chosen by the participants at the time, and images and objects used were selected by participants to characterize their engagement with their universities. To those students and others I've interviewed and worked with since, my ongoing gratitude.
The novelette begins here.
My name is Vicky, and I'm a higher education researcher. I've studied in South Africa and Scotland and worked in HE in South Africa and the UK. My work has focused on social justice in various forms and contexts. This chapter draws on unpublished data from interviews and observations conducted during my PhD study, Trowler 2017, between 2012 and 2016. Each student depicted here has been anonymized, using pseudonyms they chose at the time. Students volunteered to participate in the study in response to posters in student areas on campuses in Scotland, seeking students who identified as non-traditional in their study contexts. The focus of the study was on student engagement, but conversations ranged widely. This chapter will bring their reflections on how universities could better meet the needs of students like themselves into conversation with the post-pandemic HE landscape. Moving beyond data, students' voices provide illumination for many of today's HE challenges.
So, in the present day...
Yumna, what would you like to share about your experience?
The assumption, the stereotypes. It's like they are not seeing me, they just see the veil. And then I am either an object of pity or an object of fear. There's an assumption that I'm not serious about my studies, that I just want a degree so I can get a better husband. And that because I dress modestly, I don't have opinions to share, so I never get asked in class. I'm quite shy, so I'm not going to shout out, like some, but it would be nice to be asked sometimes. and for people to listen properly when I speak, not assume what I am going to say.
Some of the techniques we used during remote teaching allowed anonymity and facilitated participation. We must not lose that.
Next page.
What experience would you like to share, Blair?
I did grow up in a home that was working class, or at least, where I grew up, the community had been working class when there had been work. This uni is just a factory designed to press out human resources for the economy. To upskill us so we can add value to the national bottom line, but I'm not stopping at this. I'm at uni to learn, to develop myself, not for some vocational purpose of getting a better paying job.
Finding work matters, of course. But we mustn't crush students' aspirations through our own assumptions.
Next page.
Courtney, tell me about your experience.
I deferred going to uni until my kids were old enough to go to nursery. In class, they treated us like kids, and the systems were so hostile to student parents. We had to campaign to get library hours extended. There is just always a tension between being a student and being a parent. As a parent, you know what has to come first. But the uni doesn't see it that way. It would be much fairer to everyone if they could be more flexible.
During the pandemic, universities had to become flexible around teaching, learning, and assessment. We mustn't lose what we learned about how diverse the needs of students are.
Next page.
Ushe, what experiences do you want to share?
When your extended family choose you to be here, it is not just for yourself. It is for them, too. You cross the river, but you are carrying them all with you. Here it is safer, but there are other dangers. No one tells you what is the thing to do or to say. It's a test. Everything is a test to see how well you fit in. If you can pass, then you can stay. Otherwise, this is not the place for you.
Family can be a source of support, but also of pressure to some students. Fear of failure can be debilitating. We need to provide appropriate support and to help translate assumptions about cultural capital.
Next page.
Alex, do you have experience you would like to share?
The uni doesn't know. When you fill out forms asking if you consider yourself disabled, I always say no. It's like, if I say yes, there will be questions. Calling it disability service. Do I really want to be that crazy chick who needs special help? Can't I just take my pills and not have everyone staring at this huge label? If you walk in there, into that building, everyone will know. We're here, but we're hidden. Sometimes we're discovered when things go wrong, but a lot of the time we manage to carry on undetected.
During the pandemic, our teaching and assessment became more compassionate. We recognized the frailty in ourselves and others. As things snap back to how they were before, we need to recall this compassion in our relationships with students and colleagues and ourselves.
Next page.
Andy, do you have some experience to share?
When we're learning about social problems and everything's like, why don't they just get a job and stuff? And you know, cause you have been there. In a sense, you can't really go home once you've left. You can visit, but the place you visit isn't really home, not because it's changed, but you have. What you think is home now isn't that. It's something else, somewhere else. Or maybe, some place you haven't gone yet, some place you still have to create.
HE is good when it is fair. When it is compassionate, when it nurtures aspirations, and when it recognizes and supports students who may be going through profound transformation. HE is good when everyone can have the same chance of success, whatever success means to them. It's about transforming lives.
References. Ehringfeld, S. 2021. Higher Education and Its Post-Colonial Future, Utopian Hopes and Dystopian Fears at Cambridge University during COVID-19. Studies in Higher Education, 46th one, pages 146 to 157, Frere, P., 2014, Pedagogy of Hope, Reliving Pedagogy of the Oppressed, Bloomsbury Academic, Hooks, B, 1994, Teaching to Transgress, Education as the Practice of Freedom, Routledge, Peters M.A., Rizvi F., McCulloch G., and others, 2020. Reimagining the New Pedagogical Possibilities for Universities Post-COVID-19. Educational Philosophy and Theory, 54-6, pages 717-760. Trowler V., 2017. Nomads in Contested Landscapes, Reframing Student Engagement and Non-Traditionality in Higher Education. Doctoral Dissertation, University of Edinburgh. Trowler V, Alan RL and Din RR. 2019. To Secure a Better Future, the Affordances and Constraints of Complex Familial and Social Factors Encoded in Higher Education Students' Narratives of Engagement. Widening Participation and Lifelong Learning, 21-3, pages 81-98,